Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Ezra. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And we are starting chapter 2 of Ezra. The bulk of this chapter is a census of the Jews who come back to Israel to build the second Beis HaMikdash. We'll have a lot to say about that. But before we do that, I wanted to talk about Zerubbabel. I started to introduce him already in chapter 1 when we wanted to know who Sheshbatzar was and why Sheshbatzar and Zerubbabel seem to be doing the same things. So we addressed it in terms of Sheshbatzar, but now I want to address it in terms of Zerubbabel and give a little bit more background on this person. There's some fascinating, fascinating stuff. So first of all, in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, chapter 3, sentences 17 to 19, we are told about Zerubbabel, that he is the son of somebody named Pedaiah, and Pedaiah is the son of King Yechoniah. King Yechoniah, also known as Jehoiachin, was taken to Babel with the Cheresh Umasger, with the leaders. He was the penultimate king of Judea. Nebuchadnezzar took him away and replaced him with Tzidkiyahu. So Zerubbabel would be the grandson of King Yechoniah. Now, in Ezra chapter 3, sentence 2, we're told that Zerubbabel is the son of someone named Shealtiel, who is also a son of Yechoniah. He's Pedaiah's brother. In Haggai, Zerubbabel is also called Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel. You'll see why this matters in a moment. But we have some uncertainty about who his father is. Okay, what does that affect? Well, number one, it affects his family. It would be good to know. But also, very interesting note in the Encyclopedia Mikra'it. It quotes the rations tablets of King Jehoiachin. These are tablets found in Babel that date to the 13th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, and they list the food allotted to King Jehoiachin and his five sons. I'm going to post a link in the chat to a page online where you can find information about these rations tablets. Again, this is a Babylonian document that lists the food allotted to Jehoiachin and his five sons. This is very interesting because, if so, 13th year of King Nebuchadnezzar is the year 592 before the Common Era, according to the secular chronology. If you're already allotting food for Jehoiachin's five sons, that means that Zerubbabel's father is already born by then. If it's Shealtiel, that's the oldest of the five. So his father is the oldest of the five and would be somewhat old already by the time you get to the year 592, because he has four younger siblings. Now, if you keep with the secular historical chronology, Cyrus defeats the Babylonians in the year 539. So at this point, you are, let's do a little bit of math, 53 years after that. So Zerubbabel was not born at the time of those rations tablets, we assume. So now he has to be in his 50s or younger. His uncles could have passed on by now. If so, that means that he is the oldest surviving male of the royal line. If his father is Shealtiel, that certainly adds to it, because Shealtiel was the oldest of the sons. So what do we know so far? I hope that wasn't too confusing. But what we have is that Zerubbabel is, number one, grandson of the exiled King Yechoniah. That's number one. And number two, he's in his 50s or younger at this point, and he may be the oldest surviving male from the prime heirs of King Yechoniah. Okay. In terms of IDing Zerubbabel, knowing who he is, first of all, come back to the same problem we've already noted, which is he seems to be doing the same thing as Sheshbatzar, as political leader of the Jews who are coming back. How do we understand that? So we saw Ibn Ezra contend, maybe Moshe Kimchi contend, that Sheshbatzar and Zerubbabel are actually the same person, and that's one approach. There are two titles for the same person. Encyclopedia Mikra'it and Professor Zer Kavod in the Mikra edition theorize that no, Sheshbatzar was first, and then after Sheshbatzar died, that's when Zerubbabel took over. Either way, we have a separate problem when we talk about who Zerubbabel was. And the problem is this. When we get to the third chapter in Ezra, we're going to see certain events described, like a celebration of the holiday of Sukkot. Those events are going to seem to take place, again, in Nehemiah, the later chapters of Nehemiah. But in those chapters in Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah are actually present, and they are leading what's going on, whereas in Ezra chapter 3, they are nowhere to be found. So this is a separate problem that's going to tie into where we're going in terms of who Zerubbabel is. But again, Ezra chapter 3, we have certain events. Zerubbabel is the leader. We get to the end of Nehemiah, and those events seem to be recorded there as well, but with Ezra and Nehemiah present. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Lamed Ches Samed Aleph, Sanhedrin 38a, has an interesting solution for this. It suggests that Zerubbabel and Nehemiah are actually the same person. Zerubbabel and Nehemiah are the same person. His real name is Nehemiah, and the name Zerubbabel is like Zerah Bavel, seed of Babylon, because he was born in Babylon. There's actually an interesting idea from Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin that the message is that the redemption has to come from those who were exiled. So Zerubbabel is named for the exile from which he came. Rashi understands this Gemara literally. Rashi on Zechariah and Rashi on the Gemara in Erchin Hei Amud Beis understands this to be literal. That, yes, we're saying Zerubbabel and Nehemiah are actually the same person. Ibn Ezra on Zechariah, Abarbanel on the book of Zechariah do not like this. But that's the Gemara's answer, is that Zerubbabel and Nehemiah are the same person. Well, that's really interesting. We're going to see a lot about Nehemiah. And it would explain why Zerubbabel seems to basically disappear from the story at one point. The answer is because he's just there, but he's being named Nehemiah at that point. So what do we know at this stage? I'm trying to recap to hope that I don't lose people. Like, it's a lot easier for me because I've got my notes in front of me. But number one, he's definitely royal line. He's definitely grandson of Yechoniah, the penultimate king of Judea, who was exiled by Nebuchadnezzar. We read about that in Megillas Esther. Number two, in his 50s or younger and part of... in the 50s or younger, and possibly the oldest surviving male of the royal line. He may be the same person as Sheshbatzar or Sheshbatzar's successor. And he may actually be Nehemiah, who we're going to be spending a lot of time talking about. However you slice it, Zerubbabel becomes a focal point for the transition from a nation licensed by Cyrus of Persia to return to Judea, and a nation planning to establish an autonomous kingdom led by Mashiach. In other words, when Cyrus sends you back, so you're vassals of the Persians. You owe your existence. You owe your everything to Cyrus. Zerubbabel becomes part of the Jewish attempt to say, no, no, no. Thank you, Cyrus. We appreciate the favor. But we are the Jewish people. We're God's nation coming back to the land. We're not part of the, you know, we're not property of the Persian Empire. That's a big deal. Haggai, if you were to look in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, sentence 23. Zechariah, in chapter 4, sentences 6 to 9, will name Zerubbabel as a leader in that new empire to be led by a Jewish king, a Jewish anointed king. This business of Zerubbabel potentially being part of a push to be autonomous may also tie into his disappearance further along. We'll have to talk about that. But that's a little bit about this person, Zerubbabel, who is going to be so important to us. Our chapter begins with the census. Ve'ela b'nei ha-medina ha-olim mi-shevi ha-gola. Here are the people who come out of the exile. Asher ha-gola Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel li-Bavel. Who Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, exiled to Babylon, because where else would he? Ve'ashuvu li-Rushalayim. Sorry. Just lost my place. Vayashuvu liYerushalayim viYehuda ish liIro. They returned to Jerusalem. They returned to Judea, each one to his own city. And then Asherbo im Zerubbabel. Here are the people who came with Zerubbabel, and we get a list of names. So there's a lot to talk about here. We're already at the 10-minute point. So I think what I'm going to do is actually pause here. But if you take a look at the chapter, you're going to notice that it's going to spend a lot of time recording names, recording a census. And the question that I want to really tackle next time is, why are you going to record all these names? What is the value of this census? Thank you very much.